Hello everyone, and welcome to Hydro One's virtual information session for the Chatham to Lakeshore Transmission Line Project. We are live tonight with Hydro One and joined by members from the Haudenosaunee First Nations listening in. During tonight's session, you will hear from Hydro One's team and have an opportunity to participate in a live Q&A session. To ask a question live this evening, simply press 3 on your phone's keypad. Once again, press 3 to ask a live question at any time. To view tonight's presentation, please visit www.hydroonengagement.ca. My name is Eric, and I will be facilitating the virtual information session this evening. During this live session, we encourage you to get involved and to ask questions and give your feedback by voting on a few of our questions. Our intention is to get as many questions as possible this evening. You can ask a live question at any time by pressing 3 on your phone's keypad. Someone will take your name and place you in the question queue. Now again, for people just joining us, hello and welcome to Hydro One's virtual information session for the Chatham to Lakeshore Transmission Line Project. We are live tonight with Hydro One and joined by members from the Haudenosaunee First Nations listening in. To ask a question live this evening, simply press 3 on your phone's keypad. Once again, press 3 to ask a live question at any time. To view tonight's presentation, please visit www.hydroonengagement.ca. At this time, I would like to introduce Daniel Charbonneau, the Senior Manager of Indigenous Relations at Hydro One, to open the town hall. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining Hydro One's virtual community information sessions for the new Chatham to Lakeshore Line project. So my name is Daniel Charbonneau, and I'm the Senior Manager of Indigenous Relations here at Hydro One. And today I'm joined by my colleagues on the phone from Hydro One, and we have Sony Karunankaran, Director of Project Delivery. We also have John Chadwick, he's Manager of Environmental Services, and we have Andrew Lewis, is our real estate coordinator, and Sarah Jane Soulier, senior advisor with the Indigenous Relations team. I'm going to start off topic here. Obviously, we are holding this session remotely as it's not currently safe to gather in large numbers due to the pandemic. So before we get into the project itself, I just want to make sure everyone understands that we too are experiencing the new and challenges before us. Once it's safe, we intend to visit and conduct in-person sessions. So today is not a replacement for those. Nonetheless, we thought it would be important just to keep you all informed and just to open up a dialogue. So we know that some of you may be more eager to learn about the Chatham to Lakeshore line, and we remain committed to ensuring that you have up-to-date information and understand our next steps for this important project. So we will continue to monitor the latest pandemic developments, and we will look for a safe opportunity to hold in-person sessions with your community once again. But in the meantime, we just are using this new way of engaging with you to augment our communication efforts and ensure you had an open channel to communicate with us. So with that, I'll say first a little bit about us. So for more than 100 years, Hydro One has proudly served the homes and businesses of southwestern Ontario. Our crew lives and work across the region and are personally as well as professionally invested in providing safe and reliable power to your homes and businesses. Hydro One also provides distribution services to 88 First Nations communities and service an additional 17 First Nations communities in northern Ontario through Hydro One remotes. So the Chatham to Lakeshore line, transmission line, will play a critical role in continuing this long-held tradition by unlocking economic potential and growth by increasing the amount of power available in this region. By working alongside partners like the ISO, it is our job to make sure that the power is available and when it's needed to support business and community growth. Our development work on this new transmission line continues, and we are committed to continuing our engagement with residents, First Nations communities, businesses, elected officials, and other advocates. So tonight's session will provide an opportunity to learn more about the project need, the class environmental assessment process, and the consultation with First Nations communities, and the proposed routes, route selection process, and our key milestones and next steps. So lastly, here's what you can expect from either one. We don't see a project design as complete until we've consulted with the communities. And we are here to make sure that your advice, along with your indigenous culture values, are built in into the final plan. So, you know, true consultation means not just completing an exercise like this one, but coming back and make sure we got it right. So we can't guarantee that a project will satisfy like everyone all the time, but it is our goal that everyone can say that they had an opportunity to weigh in. Everyone knows that they were heard, and that we meet our own standards of efforts to make sure that happens. So if you're okay with that, I'd like to remind you that in addition to our telephone presentation, you can also access our live presentations online at www.hydro1engagement.ca. So this is www.hydro1engagement.ca. And we encourage you to follow along online if you're able to. So following our presentation this evening, we will provide an opportunity to ask questions to our project team that are on the call. So we encourage you to submit a question by pressing 3 on your telephone at any time. So we really appreciate having you join us to learn more about the Chatham to Lakeshore Transmission Line project. And, you know, we look forward to getting to know you better and having a meaningful and, you know, engaging dialogue. So with that, I'm now going to turn it to Sarah Jane Soulière. She's Senior Advisor in Indigenous Relations. Thank you. Sarah Jane?
Thank you, Dan. And welcome to our invited guests from the Haudenosaunee Confederacy Chiefs Council, Haudenosaunee Development Institute, Six Nations of the Grand River, and Oneida Nation for joining us on the line this evening. As Dan mentioned, I'm Sarah Jane Soulière from Wukomakong Unceded First Nation, Senior Advisor Indigenous Relations at Hydro One. I hope everyone is keeping safe. Before we get started, we're going to ask our first polling question for the evening. The primary importance of the polling questions this evening is to inform and frame our future discussions and engagement on the project going forward. Eric, can you ask the first polling question?
Sarah Jane, I can do that. If you're following along online at www.hydro1engagement.ca, hit next slide to go to slide 1, and using your touchtone phone, you can indicate your response on the following question. Which criteria do you feel is most important to take into consideration as a part of this project? If it is protection of vegetation, wildlife, and or water bodies, press 1. If it is archaeological assessments, press 2. If it is protection of indigenous cultural values and traditional land use, press 3. If it is class environmental assessment process, press 4. So again, which criteria do you feel is most important to take into consideration as a part of this project? If it is protection of vegetation, wildlife, and or water bodies, press 1. If it is archaeological assessments, press 2. If it is protection of indigenous cultural values and traditional land use, press 3. If it is the class environmental assessment process, press 4. Back to you, Sarah Jane.
Thank you, Eric. Now let's turn to today's agenda on page 2. Tonight, I look forward to introducing you to the Chatham to Lakeshore Transmission Line project and walking you through some of the project details. As we look to build new infrastructure in the region, learning about the communities we are working in, understanding their needs, and creating opportunities to collect feedback and advice is important to us. Tonight is the first of many opportunities we will have to connect and hear from you, whether you have joined us as a First Nation leader, community member, employee, business owner, or simply have an interest in the project. We know you have local insight, knowledge, and advice that is important for us to consider. As you will learn this evening, a key piece to our project planning includes collecting feedback from First Nation communities, elected officials, community members, businesses both small and large, and associations. While we couldn't be with you in person tonight, we wanted to ensure we could share information with you and give you an opportunity to ask our team questions. We look forward to working together as trusted community partners. Throughout my presentation this evening, I will review the class environmental assessment and our proposed route alternatives, how you can participate in the process, and some of the steps and milestones. During this time, I will be referring to the presentation deck, which can be viewed online at www.hydro1engagement.ca. Again, that's www.hydro1engagement.ca. These materials will also be made available after the meeting on our project website. Following this presentation, members of our panel will be available to take questions. We encourage you to submit a question by pressing 3 on your keypad at any time. Key organizations, page 3. Before we move into project details, I want to provide some background information on some of the key organizations in Ontario that play a role in meeting the energy needs of today and tomorrow. I will touch on the function of these organizations as it relates to the Chatham to Lakeshore line as we move through the presentation. I will also spend a few minutes reviewing Hydro One's role in the electricity system. Some of these key organizations I mentioned include the Independent Electricity System Operator, also known as IESO. They are responsible for ensuring the future energy needs in Ontario are being met. They conduct routine planning to identify where electricity growth or demand is in the province, and they work in conjunction with transmitters, generators, and utilities like Hydro One to confirm how to best address those needs. Hydro One is responsible for building, owning, and maintaining equipment that help meet the electricity demands and bring power to areas across the province. The Ministry of Environment, Conservation, and Parks oversees the class environmental assessment process and ensures potential environmental effects are considered and planned before new electricity infrastructure is built. Lastly, the Ontario Energy Board regulates the electricity market and ensures that electricity projects are carried out in a financially prudent manner and protects the interests of customers. Hydro One's role, page 4. To further provide clarity on the infrastructure we are going to be talking about today, I want to quickly review how electricity flows from your home or business. For those of you viewing online, you can follow along on the diagram. I also want to remind everyone that you may submit a question at any time by pressing 3 on your keypad. Across the province, Hydro One carries vast amounts of electricity from hydroelectric, nuclear, solar, and wind facilities over long distances through nearly 30,000 kilometers of transmission wires. These lines make up what we call the transmission system and carry electricity at a high voltage of 115,000 kilovolts, 230,000, or 500,000 kilovolts. You can think of the transmission system as Ontario's electricity highway. As electricity reaches local communities, it is stepped down to a lower voltage at electrical stations to be carried through another network of wires, which make up what we call the distribution system. You can think of the distribution system as a series of local roads. Local distribution companies like Hydro One, Integrys, Blue Water Power are then responsible for safely delivering this lower voltage power to your homes or businesses. Project overview, page 5. This brings me to the Chatham to Lakeshore Line project. As Dan mentioned, Hydro One has been powering homes and businesses in southwestern Ontario for more than 100 years. We are committed to continuing to invest in a transmission and distribution system to support the region and increase the amount of available power to residents and businesses. The IESO's forecasts show a remarkable amount of electricity growth in Essex County and the surrounding region over the next several years, with electricity expected to triple between 2018 to 2026 in Kingsville and Leamington alone. This growth is expected to meet the evolving needs of residents and emerging industries and businesses, including greenhouse operators. This growth is studied in the most recent electricity planning cycle for the Windsor-Essex region. As part of this process, the IESO gathered information from local utilities, municipalities, and communities. Through this process, it was determined that the electricity network must be ready to respond to this growth, and the need for the new transmission line was confirmed. As a result, in 2019, the IESO requested Hydro One to begin development work to build a new transmission line between our Chatham switching station, located in the municipality of Chatham-Kent, to our future Lakeshore switching station, located in the town of Lakeshore. This line is expected to add enough power to the area to energize a city the size of Windsor, and will also reinforce the electricity highway that I spoke of to ensure all current and new users have a safe and reliable supply of power. To meet forecasted electricity growth, this line is required to be in service by 2025. One of the first steps in beginning this development works includes undertaking a class environmental assessment, and in January, Hydro One officially kicked off this process. Class environmental assessment, page 6. So what exactly is a class environmental assessment process? A class environmental assessment, or class EA, is a planning and decision-making tool that is used to assess the existing environment and mitigate potential effects before decisions are made about proceeding with a proposed project. Ontario's Environmental Assessment Act sets out requirements for transmission line projects based on the voltage level and distance traversed. Once the need for a Class EA is confirmed, a study area is defined and alternatives are identified. Through the Class EA process, alternatives and the potential project effects for each are evaluated according to several criteria and a fair and transparent process with the objective of selecting one preferred method. Some of the key components to a Class EA include consultation with rights holders, various groups and stakeholders, collection of environmental inventory, and the identification of potential effects and mitigation measures. At the end of this process, a draft environmental study report that outlines the data captured and feedback collected is made available for a 30-day public review and comment period. Following this review period, this report is submitted to the Ministry of Environment, Conservation and Parks. First Nation consultation, page 7. In November 2019, Hydro One received a letter from the Crown to carry out the procedural aspects of the duty to consult with 7 First Nations and 1 First Nation organization for the Chatham to Lakeshore transmission line project. We are committed to strengthening relationships with First Nations throughout the development phase of this project. We are committed to sharing project information to you and your community and through dialogue, identifying and discussing issues that you may have. These discussions will contribute to route design. There will also be future corridor workshops and technical workshops for you to provide further input. Additionally, Hydro One has been offering opportunities for First Nations to be involved during environmental surveys and assessments such as monitoring. First Nation participation, page 8. In addition to participating in environmental studies, Hydro One is open to explore and discuss other ways to participate in the project. We will ensure proper resources to conduct consultation with your community meaningfully by making capacity funding available. We are currently offering this funding to all identified First Nations. As part of the funding, there is the capacity for each First Nation to hire a community consultation coordinator. This role is intended to allow for a full-time position employed by the First Nation and will serve as the liaison between the community and Hydro One to help coordinate local community engagement related to the project. Hydro One supports business opportunities within First Nations. We are committing resources for developing Indigenous-owned business relationships, including sharing procurement information. Hydro One is also committing resources for employment and training as well. How we got here, page 9. As I mentioned, we began the Class EA for the Chatham to Lakeshore Transmission Line project in January this year. Prior to beginning consultation, one of our first priorities was to identify the study area and technically feasible routes for how we could build the new transmission line from point A, our Chatham switching station, to point B, the future Lakeshore switching station. Our team mapped out known technical and environmental features and constraints, such as water bodies, dense residential areas, environmentally significant areas, and look for opportunities to parallel linear infrastructure and utilize existing easements. Based on that information, our design experts developed three viable route alternatives and associated variations. Project routes, page 10. The map on the slide shows that three primary routes and their associated variations. Whether you are currently viewing the presentation online or not, I encourage you to visit our project website at www.hydro1.com/Chatham-2-Lakeshore. Again, www.hydro1.com/Chatham-2-Lakeshore, where you can access an interactive map and locate each of the proposed routes relative to the area of interest. Each of these routes have similarities in that they allow us to connect to both electrical facilities, they avoid known technical and environmental constraints, and are similar in length. One difference among these routes is that two of them, the red and yellow lines on the map, partially parallel some of Hydro One's existing infrastructure, while the third route, the purple one, does not. As part of the Class CA process, we will evaluate and compare each of these route alternatives to select a preferred route for the new transmission line. Before I continue, I just want to remind everyone to submit a question at any time by pressing 3 on the keypad. Evaluation of routes, page 11. So you may be wondering how we will evaluate each of these routes. Since the beginning, the Class CA process in January, we have begun meeting and having conversations with First Nation communities, elected officials, interested organizations, and property owners. Over the next several months, our focus will continue on studying and learning more about each route by collecting data from a variety of sources, such as existing reports and plans, conducting environmental field surveys and technical assessments, as well as holding a wide range of engagement opportunities, which I will speak to further in the presentation. The feedback and information will help us categorize the existing environment throughout the study area along each route, develop a set of criteria used to evaluate various route alternatives, and identify potential means of avoiding, mitigating, or restoring environmental effects. This information will be taken into consideration to select a preferred route for the new transmission line, which we expect to present to the public in early 2021. Evaluation criteria, page 12. A key focus at this stage in the Class CA process, including developing our evaluation criteria, which we will use to assess and compare the alternative routes. We will be evaluating each alternative according to four primary categories: natural environment, social economic environment, First Nations, cultural traditional land use, and technical cost. Within each of these categories, we will establish specific criteria, and each criteria will be assigned certain weighting. This slide includes examples of criteria we would consider using in each category. For instance, under natural environment, we would consider assessing the impact of each route to existing vegetation or water bodies. We will use feedback received through this process to consider which criteria should be incorporated and weighted more heavily than others. If you have ideas on what criteria or metrics you think we should use, we encourage you to let us know. How to get involved, page 13. Consultation and community engagement is a top priority for Hydro One. As I've mentioned throughout this presentation, we want to ensure that your feedback is built into our project plan. We are interested in hearing your input to help us understand the existing environment throughout the study areas and along each route, help develop the criteria we will use to evaluate and compare each route, help identify potential ways to avoid, mitigate, or restore environmental impacts from the project. We will continue to collect input on an ongoing basis, and over the next year, we will host additional opportunities, which you will see in the next slide, like this evening, for you to participate in. We also encourage you to contact and or submit your questions or comments with our dedicated team, who can be reached at indigenous.relations@hydro1.com. Again, that's indigenous.relations@hydro1.com. In addition, our team is always looking for ways to strengthen our partnership, including identifying ways the project can benefit your community. We will seek to explore local training and labor opportunities and support community partnerships that encourage safety training and safe play. Project milestones, page 14. Before we turn over to our question and answer portion of the evening, I want to include with reviewing some of the key milestones and timelines for the project. As I mentioned previously, we are seeking to select a preferred route as part of the Class EA by 2021. We will be looking to host our next information session this fall, at which time we will share our findings and feedback received to date. This will be followed by a third information session in early 2021, at which time we will expect to present the preferred alternative and how we arrived there. Feedback collected from these sessions and through our data collection will be compiled into an environmental study report, which we expect to release for public comment and review next spring. These key engagement milestones will be accompanied by routing workshops with technical agencies, presentations to First Nation communities, municipal council, and interested organizations, as well as individual meetings as required. Following the submission of the Class EA, Hydro One will seek an additional approval from the Ontario Energy Board as part of our Section 92 application. Contingent on these approvals, we anticipate we will begin construction in 2023 to support the region by having the line in service by 2025. Next, we will move on to the second polling slide on page 15. Before we move on to the questions and answers, we will have this one last polling question. Eric, can you share our next poll, please?
I can do that, Sarah Jane. And again, if you're following along online at www.hydro1engagement.ca, you can hit next slide. Slide 15 is the slide for this poll. Using your touchtone phone, you can indicate your response on the following question. What project information would you like to learn more about in future engagement sessions within the community? If it is project need, press 1. If it is the technical route selection process, press 2. If it is Indigenous business opportunities, press 3. If it is employment and training opportunities, press 4. So again, what project information would you like to learn more about in future engagement sessions within the community? If it is project need, press 1. If it is the technical route selection process, press 2. If it is Indigenous business opportunities, press 3. And if it is employment and training opportunities, press 4. Sarah Jane, back to you.
Thanks, Eric. And we will now move on to the live question and answer panel. Page 16. As I'm sure some of you are eager to ask questions of our project team, we will now move to the second portion of our meeting where our panel members will address questions we received by email as well as take live questions. As a reminder, on the panel this evening, we have Daniel Charbonneau, Senior Manager, Indigenous Relations, Sunny Karen, Director, Strategic Projects, John Chadwick, Manager, Environmental Services, Andrew Louie, Real Estate Coordinator. Thank you for taking the time to tune in today, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with you. I will now turn it over to Eric to ask our first question of the evening.
Thank you, Sarah Jane. I also want to remind everyone joining us on the telephone that if you would like to ask a live question, you can press 3 on your phone's keypad at any time during the session. You'll have a chance to ask that live question. Someone will take your name and place you in the question queue. Again, press 3 to ask that live question. We do have some pre-submitted questions that, as you mentioned, came in by email. The first one being, are there opportunities for First Nations participation for environmental studies?
Thank you, Eric. So we are going to go to John to answer the first question.
Thank you, Sarah Jane. And thank you, everyone, for being on the call tonight. We appreciate and acknowledge your participation. So with respect to the question regarding opportunities for First Nations in environmental studies, the answer to that is yes, and we welcome and encourage your participation in the process. This can include things like community field liaison monitoring during environmental studies, such as archaeological assessments. And we're committed to sharing those opportunities as they arise with communities. We're also looking to provide capacity funding for a community consultation coordinator with each community. and want you to know that, as you would have seen in the presentation that Sarah Jane mentioned, that one of the four evaluation categories is about First Nation interest and traditional knowledge and land use. So we very much look forward to receiving your input and feedback, and thank you in advance for that. Of course, we also want to hear on any other matters that you may be interested in sharing about socioeconomic and natural environment criteria. Thanks again for the question.
Thank you, John. Eric, can you please share the next question?
I can do that. And again, a reminder to press 3 on your phone's keypad if you'd like to ask a live question. Now, up next, we have another pre-submitted question. This one is as follows. Will Hydro One incorporate traditional knowledge in environmental studies?
Again, this question is for John. John, can you please provide more information? Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah Jane. And hi again. Regarding traditional knowledge, as mentioned, yes, absolutely, we are interested in hearing about and incorporating your feedback with respect to traditional knowledge. We take this information and this input from community members very seriously. And as I mentioned previously, we're allocating a significant portion of the evaluation framework to be specific to First Nation interests, including traditional knowledge and land use. So please, we do encourage you to provide that feedback, and I'll just give you the information again so that you're hearing it multiple times. It's indigenous.relations@hydro1.com. And also, if you prefer, by telephone, you can call us at 1-647-241-0945. Again, that number is 647-241-0945. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks, John. Eric, can you please share any other questions that we have coming in?
I can do that. We have another pre-submitted question coming up. Again, just a reminder to press 3 on your phone's keypad if you would like to ask a live question. So this question is, does Hydro One already have a preferred route?
Thanks, Eric. John, can you please answer this next question?
Sure, Sarah Jane, thank you. So it's me again, everyone. Thanks again for the question. The answer to that is no, we do not have a preferred route. In fact, that's what the Class Environmental Assessment Process is all about. And as Sarah Jane mentioned, it's a transparent decision-making framework that allows us to identify and evaluate various alternatives. We have provided three diverse route alternatives in the mapping that you would have seen in the presentations, and each of them have associated variations. All of them are designed to meet the project need. We want to hear from you. So we would like to hear from you about those routes as they, maybe you have specific information or knowledge about a particular local geography that they traverse, or any other information that you can provide us. We're interested in hearing that from you and learning more about your perspectives as it pertains to those routes so that we can incorporate that feedback into how we go about differentiating them through the evaluation. They will be evaluated fairly according to the same evaluation criteria, and we envision by early 2021 to present a preliminary preferred route for your consideration and everybody's review. And at that time, we would explain the rationale for selecting that route, as well as how stakeholder input and First Nation and Indigenous community input helped inform that decision. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, John. Eric, can you please share the next question?
We actually have a live question coming up. So again, I do want to remind everyone that we want to hear from you. You have a chance to ask a live question by pressing 3. I'm going to welcome Josh to the event. Josh, you're joining us live. Please go ahead with your question.
I was just wondering, was there any participation involved from the First Nations in the hiring process, or will that be Hydro One Construction Union responsibility?
Thank you for your question, Josh. Sunny, Can you please answer the next question?
Sure. Thank you very much, Sarah Jane, and thank you very much for your question, Josh. We're fairly early in the definition and delivery stage of the development works for this project. So at present, our plan is to deliver this project through the construction stage by using an EPC contractor. And as far as the construction opportunities are concerned, at Hydro One, we believe that to be a good trusted partner to Indigenous communities, we want to provide opportunities for training and skill development, as well as employment, to participate in the construction on these projects. So yes, through the way we are going to deliver this with our EPC contractor, we will be incentivizing and utilizing opportunities to have First Nations participation in the construction of the transmission line. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Sunny. Eric, can you please share the next question with us?
I can, Sarah Jane. Again, a quick reminder to everyone joining us to press 3 on your phone keypad if you would like to ask a live question. We have another pre-submitted question. This one is, has consultation with First Nation communities started?
Thank you, Eric. Daniel, if you can answer the next question, please.
Yes, certainly. Thank you for the questions. Yes, actually, Hydro One started consultation, the process of consultations with First Nations communities, and this is we want to prioritize this at the early stage of this project development. So we sort of begun consulting with First Nations communities as we are proceeding with the class environmental assessment of the project. So we communicated with First Nations communities early on, starting from, I think, last December 2019, where we started to send notification letters and just to initiate that consultation process. So our approach is we want to make sure that communities are aware of all the sort of opportunities around this project. We want to collect feedback, input, any issues and concerns with respect to the project. This is something we really want to gather. And, you know, we want to sit down and discuss the these opportunities to participate fully in the project. So yeah, it's just an early start of consultations, and we're looking forward for continuing this consultation process for the entire time of that project. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Daniel. Eric, can you please share the next question with the team?
I can do that. And again, to ask a live question, you can press 3 on your phone's keypad. We have another pre-submitted question. This one is, will there be herbicide used at any time of the project? Will there be herbicide used at any time of the project?
Hi, this question is for John.
Thanks, Sarah Jane, and thanks again for the question. With respect to herbicide use, as Daniel just mentioned, we're still in the early planning stages. So it is unknown at this time whether the use of herbicides and the degree to which herbicides may be required. It's not known quite yet. We do definitely acknowledge the potential concerns that people have with the potential use of herbicides. And like everything on this project and otherwise, we are committed to being transparent and having a transparent approach to this topic. So if it's later determined that the use of herbicides are needed as we move forward to building the line, that would be first and foremost a plan in accordance with integrated pest management standards by trained technicians, and would also respect existing limitations such as setbacks from water bodies. But we'd be pleased to provide more information at that time so that we can follow up with the communities and people who have a specific interest in this topic to dive into more detail about its requirements, if it is, and where it might be used. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for that. Eric, do we have any additional questions to share this evening?
We have another question that has been pre-submitted. Again, I want to remind everyone joining us on the session today that if you have a live question you would like to ask, you can press 3 on your phone's keypad. The next pre-submitted question is, once a route has been selected, does Hydro One plan to purchase the land it needs or get access through an easement?
Thank you, Eric. Andrew, can you please answer this following question?
Yeah, not a problem. So at the conclusion of the route assessment, Hydro One Real Estate will be working closely with directly impacted property owners who have the preferred right-of-way on their property. Our goal is to secure voluntary property settlements with each of the directly impacted landowners using a set of land acquisition compensation principles. Now, these principles are founded upon Hydro One's recent experience on the land acquisition program for nearby transmission projects. With respect to easements and fee simple ownership, we will be offering landowners owner choice, whereby the directly impacted landowner can convey an interest in their property by way of an easement right, or can sell a portion of their lands, fee simple rights of the transmission corridor to Hydro One. Thanks so much for the question.
Thank you, Andrew. Eric, can you please share any additional questions that we may have this evening?
Up next, we have another email submitted question. Again, a reminder, press 3 on your phone's keypad if you'd like to ask a live question. We now have this question. As part of the work you have done to identify the potential routes, did you consider using the old rail corridor or Highway 401 as an option?
Thank you, Eric. This is another question for John to answer.
Thanks, Sarah Jane, and thank you for pre-submitting that question. We did consider the feasibility of utilizing other infrastructure corridors early on, like rail lines. And many of the times, all of the times where when we considered this, where it was not proposed in the mapping that you will have hopefully seen, that those sites would have, or those alternatives or alignments had technical limitations. So in the case of a rail line, for example, the one that goes into Tilbury area, it has too narrow widths. It bisects built-up higher density communities and residential areas, and it encroaches upon existing wind turbines in sections. So the answer to the question is yes, we did look at that. Our design engineers looked at all opportunities to use existing linear infrastructure or corridors, and wherever it was possible to do so, we have tried to take advantage of that. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Eric, can you please share the next question?
I can do that. And again, another reminder to press 3 on your phone's keypad if you'd like to ask a live question. The following email question is, will there be potential business opportunities for Indigenous-owned businesses?
Hi, this message is for Sunny. This question is for Sunny.
Thank you very much. So utilisation of Indigenous-owned businesses on the delivery of the project is of greatest importance to Hydro One. As I had said previously, we will be looking to deliver this contract using an EPC contractor. As part of that, we will be incentivising the EPC contractor to engage Indigenous-owned businesses for deliveries of aspects of the construction work. Thank you very much for the question.
Thank you, Sunny. Eric, do we have any more questions?
We have another one, another pre-submitted one, and this one is as follows. How can I provide my feedback on the different routes proposed? Do I have a say on the route variations for this project?
Thank you, Eric. And this question is again for John.
Thank you, Sarah Jane. To the answer to the question of do I have a say, absolutely. And we promise to listen. So we want to hear from you, and we want to engage with you on your perspective about the routes and your perspectives on those routes. In addition to general opinion, about any information that you may be able to share with us. The key points that we really want that feedback to form would be in the context of, number one, helping us to further understand the local environment, which I mentioned earlier, and then the existing conditions associated with any given route. Number two would be help to develop a set of evaluation criteria, which you've heard throughout the course of this presentation, not just within the First Nation context. Of course, that we certainly want to hear about that, but if you have information relating to or as it intertwines with other topics, such as socioeconomic and positive benefits of the project or natural environment, we would like to hear about that and how we define those criteria, how to apply those criteria, and what relative weight we should consider. And thirdly, we'd like to hear how to help identify means of avoiding, protecting, or mitigating the environmental effects of the project if it is believed that it would have a potential negative effect, or also, again, environmental effects and the class environmental assessment process is also about learning of positive effects of the project. So we want to, and then we balance that and we look at the net environmental effects of the project. So as I mentioned earlier, we've spent considerable time establishing the routes and the associated variations and did that through a very specific process where we attempted carefully to avoid identified constraints. And then once we receive that input from you, it is possible that we would make some refinements to the routes to address newly learned constraints that come to light during that process. And we would document that input in the ESR, or the Environmental Study Report. And I just leave you on this point with the key is really to remember that the feedback that we would learn on any particular alternative, we would be applying them fairly across all alternatives without bias. So, of course, we respect that there may be local concerns about if a route goes through a particular property that somebody either owns and they have an issue with that. But our message is that's important and we want to hear from you. But we're treating this fairly and with no bias so that we'll be applying it universally. So for us, the key is to really dive into understanding the nature of the concern and to identify any themes that we can then use to apply to all of those alternatives. So definitely we look forward to hearing from you, and I'm sure that the contact information would be repeated again before we're off the call today. So thank you for that.
Thank you, John. Eric, do we have any additional questions for this evening?
Well, we're actually just about reaching the end of the virtual information session. Sarah, Jane, and Dan, with the last couple minutes, did you want to share a few final thoughts and remarks with local residents?
Yes. Yes, Danielle here. So I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to join us this evening to learn just, you know, a bit more about the Chatham to Lakeshore Transmission Line project. So speaking on behalf of our team at IJ1, we appreciated having the opportunity to hear directly from you tonight. And if we're not able to answer your question, by all means, we encourage you to get in touch with us by contacting us directly at indigenous.relations@ijo1.com or phoning the following number at 1-647-241-0495. So as we've mentioned throughout tonight's session, your feedback is an important part of the planning and development process for a new transmission line. And as we continue development work for this new line, we look forward to working with you and within your community when it's safe to do so. So, Nyawan, thank you, and good evening. Good night.
As mentioned, if you have any questions or concerns that you would like to share with the project team, you can do so through email by emailing us at indigenous.relations@hydro1.com or by calling 1-647-241-0945. Again, you can share questions and concerns by emailing indigenous.relations@hydro1.com or by calling 1-647-241-0945. Thank you again for everyone for joining us, and take care.